This morning, we are going to just continue in the series that we have. And so about a month ago, we'd already planned the sermon text and prepped this out all the way through Easter. And so we're going to just keep moving forward in what we've prepared and believe it's timely as well, and that it is a word for the moment now. And so we're still in our Parables of the Kingdom series, and I hope that you've been blessed by those. And those of you who've just started maybe watching us and seeing us on social media, you can go back. We have a Vimeo page. We have a website. You can go back and catch those sermons in this series and see how they tie together. But this morning, we're going to talk about preparation for the kingdom. Preparation for the kingdom. And the parable is found in Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 1. So if you would, if you have your Bibles at home, if you have your app out, get your Bible out, and let's look at the text. And as we look at Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 1, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Let us pray. Father, this morning, as we come to your word and we have a word and a parable from you concerning preparation, Lord, I pray that we as a people would be prepared for your coming, that we'd be prepared to meet you, Lord. Father, if there's someone out there that doesn't know you, that's never called upon the great name of Jesus, that today, even through social media and even through watching it online, that you would speak to their heart, that they would realize the serious need to be prepared for the day that we will all stand before you one day. So God, give us ears to hear. Give us a mind to believe, a heart to receive, and a will to obey you today. Lord, I do understand and realize that there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. As we go back through this parable, let's go back with verse 1. Again, this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. So this is telling us about God. Now, what we've looked at over the last few weeks is we looked at the value of the kingdom. As Pastor John brought that message, talked about the kingdom is so valuable. It's like a man that found a pearl that was hidden in a field, that he was willing to sell everything to capture that field. Why? Because he realized that what he was giving up didn't even compare to what he was going to gain. And how many of y'all realize that truth today, that there is nothing that we can give up that we don't get greater gain by God's hand? Amen. And then we looked at the seed of the kingdom. We looked at there was different responses as the gospel message is going out and being sown into hearts of men, that there are various responses to the kingdom. And then last week we talked about the invitation to the kingdom, that the kingdom of heaven was compared to a great marriage feast, and that the invitation must be accepted. And today we're going to talk about the preparation for the kingdom. And he uses the celebration after the wedding has been done and the marriage has been consummated, that the bridal party, as they come to celebrate this union, and he's going to compare that to the kingdom of God. So we're going to take a story about a wedding, and we're going to learn things about the kingdom. there were five who were wise, and there were five who were foolish. What made the ones wise is the fact that they were prepared for the bridegroom. And what made the ones foolish was that they were ill-prepared, or they were not prepared. They had one responsibility. So the 10 virgins, it's not really a focus on their being pure sexually. These are young girls who were asked to be part of the bridal party. And so as the Jewish wedding, as they would have the wedding, and then there would be the time after the wedding where the marriage would be consummated, then they would go back to their home, and it could be days before they arrived back to their home. And these 10 young ladies, they had one responsibility. Their one responsibility was this: to have their lamps lit and ready for the bridal party to come back, for the groom to come back with his bride. And as they announced his coming and announced their coming, they would go out to meet them, and they would have their torches lit because it could be in the middle of the night, and they would light the way for them to come back to their home. And so they had one main responsibility, and that responsibility was to be ready, to be prepared for the coming. Now, this parable is teaching us that Jesus, the King, he's coming back. And the question is, are you prepared to meet him? Do you give any thought about your eternal soul? Because the wise person looks beyond the here and now. You know, it's sad that most people don't really think about what happens to them after they die. We're in a pandemic, and I see that not just in Montgomery County, but it seems like this goes beyond just our county, that most people are worried about toilet paper. That they're worried that they have enough toilet paper, right? But do we ever think about, are we prepared to meet the Lord? Michelle, she ran in early one morning to Kroger, and she came back, and she's all emotional, and maybe you've experienced this as well, and there was nothing on the shelves. You know, all the meat was gone. There was an older man, she said, and he was looking at this strange package and just looking at it, and had this confusing look on his face, and he looks to Michelle and he says, "Do you think this will be any good?" It was veggie burgers. He's like, "I've never tried these veggie burgers." That is all that they had left. And we have people buying up food and water as if we forgot how to drink out of the tap. You know, if you would have told me back when I was in high school that we would be buying water that's put in bottles, I would have laughed. But here we are. And so we're buying all of this stuff, and we're preparing. We want to make sure that we have enough food. We want to make sure that we have enough water. We want to make sure that we have enough toiletries. And these are not bad things to get, and it's good to be ready. But what about preparing for eternity? Are we as prepared to die as we are to survive? Are we prepared to meet our Maker? Verse 5 says, "As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept." This is the delay. This is the day. This is the time that we live in right now. The delay is picturing Christ's first coming and then his second coming. And so right now, we are living in the delay. Jesus has come. He promises that he's coming again. And in the meantime, he gave us an assignment. Number one, believe and trust in him. Call upon his name and get busy about his kingdom. Amen? That was his task. That was the assignment. That's what he told us to do. And the question is are we going to be prepared? Did these ladies prepare themselves? There were five who did, but five who did not. Look at verse 6. But at midnight, there was a cry. At midnight, there was a cry. This is the trumpet sound of God. This is the day when Christ shall return. This is the day when the archangel announces and the Son of Man comes in the clouds of heaven and splits the eastern sky. There is a midnight cry coming, and the question is, are you prepared to meet him? So at the midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. It was a cry to rally those young ladies to say, okay, it's time to do your job. It's time to do what you've been preparing for. Then all those virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. They said, wait a minute, no, we can't do that. You should have been prepared. We can't give you our oil, because if we give you our oil, then there's not going to be enough for any of us, and then the bridegroom is going to be left in the dark, and we can't do that. We have a responsibility. Now, let me ask you a question. Why were those five not prepared? It says they were foolish. Why were they foolish? Because they didn't take their task seriously. They procrastinated. They were lazy. They just sat back and they said, oh, we can go get oil tomorrow. When should have they went and got extra flask of oil? The moment they were told, be ready. Right? The moment they were given the assignment, here's your job, here's your task, you need to be ready for the bridegroom when he comes, make sure you have your lamps lit, make sure you have everything that you need for when they come back, be ready. But there was five that said, you know what, I think I'm just gonna relax a little bit. I can do that tomorrow. But what is the crazy thing about tomorrow? Does tomorrow ever come? No. Because the next day then turns into what? Today. And then there's another tomorrow. And then when that sun goes down and it comes back up, then you wake up and you're in what? You're in today. You never live in tomorrow. You only live in today. And so their moment to be prepared and to go buy the oil that they needed was today. Many people think, you know what, I'm just gonna wait until I get a little older to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, I don't need to get serious about my spiritual life now. I don't need to call upon Jesus now. I'm young. I've got time and tomorrow. I can do that tomorrow. I can do that later. But the problem is, you put things off, and then when the time comes, you're not ready. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you prepared for the coming kingdom? If you were to die today, do you know for certain that you will go to heaven? That is a serious question. That is an important question. That is a question that we shouldn't put off tomorrow, but we should answer today. That's why the author of Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, For today is the day of salvation. Amen? Today's the day of salvation. They should have been prepared, but they weren't. So while they were going out to buy oil that they should have already had, the door was shut. The door was shut. That's hard words. It reminds me of the story in Genesis. When God told a man by the name of Noah to build an ark. And the Bible says that he was a preacher. And so I am confident that as Noah was building the ark, him and his sons, he was also proclaiming, you better get right with God. There's a judgment day coming. You better get right with God. There's a judgment day coming. You better be prepared. You better get ready. You better call upon the name of the Lord. And people, I'm sure, mocked him, laughed, ridiculed him. Jesus said that his return will be compared to that in the days of Noah. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus says that when he returns, there's going to be people who are going to be like these five foolish virgins, and they're not going to be prepared to meet him. They're going to be just concerned about their everyday life. They're eating, drinking, getting married, running a business, having a family, making money, living in a nice home, driving nice cars. They're going to be so concerned about just the pleasures and the care of this world that they're not going to give any thought or attention to their eternal soul. And when Noah and his family entered the ark, the Bible tells us this, go back and read it and look it up, that God closed the door. He shut the door. In this parable, it says that the door was shut. Can I just tell you that when Jesus returns, or the day you breathe your last breath, that door of salvation is shut. It is closed. There'll be no second chance. There'll be no, wait a minute. Now I realize who you are. There'll be no second chance. The time to call upon the name of the Lord is now. It's today. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not next month. It's not when I'm older. It is now. The time to be prepared is now. And so, I wonder this question, are people prepared? Are we ready? We are living in a worldwide pandemic. We are shutting down major businesses, entertainment, schools, colleges, restaurants. We're trying to do everything we can possibly do to control the spread of this virus and to limit the number of fatalities. These are all good things that we are doing: social distancing, washing our hands, cleaning every surface we can. All of these things are good things and what we should do to care for and watch after people who may be more vulnerable to the coronavirus. But one thing I don't hear much about right now is the need for people to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't hear our leaders saying that America desperately needs the Lord. I hear them hint at it. But I don't hear anyone like the wicked king of Nineveh when Jonah came and said, "Repent, who even an unbeliever at that time realized, we've got to do something, that we've got to repent and humble ourselves and fast before a holy God and cry out to him, and then maybe his hand of grace and mercy will fall upon us. And that's exactly what they did, and God graced them and showed mercy upon them. Matthew McConaughey puts out an encouraging video. He's a cool guy, right? A lot of women love him, and a lot of guys would like to be him, right? He's a great actor. And he put out a very moving, little encouraging video about how we can all come together and make lemonade out of this big lemon that we have. How we can turn the red light green. But in his moving video, there was one major thing he left out. Because he started talking about the green light of values. He said, as long as we use these green light of values and we come together and we come together as a people, we'll pull ourselves out of this. He says, the green light of values of fairness, kindness, accountability, resilience, respect, and courage. Now, all those are good values. But did you notice one value that wasn't mentioned? Faith. He talks about how we are all dependent on one another, and that we can come together as a nation and we can get ourselves out of this and we'll come through this. I agree. I agree. We can come together. We're going to pull through this. But did you notice there's one person not mentioned? And that's the Lord. Now, I don't expect entertainers and athletes and politicians to speak about those things, because we've long gone as an American society upon our dependency on God. We have long since left God out of the equation of our lives. But that's why God sends preachers to proclaim the truths of what God says. And here's what I want to say, that at this time, at this hour, in this season that we're in as a nation, America desperately needs the Lord. America desperately needs the hand of God to come and stay this virus and get it away. We need the help of the Almighty God. It's time for Americans and churches all across our nation to get down on our knees and call out to a holy God and say, Lord, we need you. We desperately need you to move. We need a revival. We need an awakening. Because my fear is this: what is it going to take to get our attention? What must we go through as a nation that will finally bend our knee to the Lord? What will it take for us to call upon the name of the Most High God and repent of our sin and turn from our shame and seek his face? It is time for the blood-bought saints of the living God to be full of the oil of the Holy Spirit and to be full of prayer, full of praise, full of serving, full of giving, full of love, full of hope, full of peace, and full of faithfulness. The Bible says in Luke 12:35, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. We've got to be the people who are about the Father's business. Amen? The church. This is the time, church, for our faith to increase. Our hope not to lead to despair, but that we look to the God Almighty, who is the deliverer and the comforter. It is time for us to be ready to be full of God's grace and mercy, to reach out to those that we can help, to not hoard up, but to give. Not to be unconcerned about our neighbor, but to check on them. It is time for the hands and the feet of Jesus to be unleashed during this time, to let people know that there is hope, there is peace, and there is calm in the midst of a storm. It's time to let people know that there is a God who does love them and sent his son to die for them, and that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's time for us to be people who not only just live out the gospel, but share the gospel. And to show it in compassion ways, to show it in loving ways, to show it in our serving, to show it in our sacrifices, to show it in our celebration in the midst of this as we celebrate today as Christians. Even though we can't gather together one with another, we can still lift up high the name of the Almighty God. Amen. You need to be as prepared to meet your Maker as you are with the amount of groceries you have in your cupboard. Right? Out of all the things that we're doing to try to prevent ourselves from getting the COVID-19 virus, washing our hands for 20 seconds, I believe that's what it is, 20 seconds that you're supposed to. We've never done that before, probably in our life, unless you're a nurse or a doctor or on a surgical team. Germex sold out, and it was a hot commodity, and we're trying to Germex ourselves, and we're staying away from people, and all those things are great and good. But listen to me. Those of you who aren't believers, those of you who have put off thinking about spiritual matters, I want to talk to you just for a moment. As much energy as you're doing to protect yourself from this virus, I'm encouraging you today to put that much energy and effort and thought in protecting yourself from the virus of sin that is destroying your life and will lead you to an everlasting separation from a holy God. Because we know the answer to the solution. Though our sin is like scarlet, he will make us white as snow. Amen? That there is a deliverer, there is an answer, there is a remedy. Jesus is the eternal Son of God who lived a sinless life and died on a cross for my sin and for your sin. And that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, he will take your sin and your wickedness and your unrighteousness, and he will carry that and he will take that on himself, and then he will give you his righteousness, his clothes, his robes, his grace, his mercy, and cleanse you from all of your sin and give you the promise of eternal life. I don't know anything greater than that. Are you ready? And the reason why I'm stressing this, because if you are not prepared to meet the Lord, it will not be well on his return. Look at verse 11. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour. Now imagine this. You had 10 young ladies given one assignment. Be ready to meet the bridegroom. Have your lamps ready and have them ready for his return. Five of them put it off, were ill prepared, didn't take it serious. Thought, you know, it might not be as long as what they say. I think I've got enough oil. I think I'll be okay. They're waiting. They all fall asleep. Here comes the call. Prepare to meet the bridegroom. They all wake up. Five of them, they don't have to panic. Why? Because they're prepared. They're ready. They get their lamps. They have their extra oil. They're ready to meet him. If it takes a day or 2 days for them to actually arrive, it doesn't matter. They're ready. But there's five that panic. They don't know what to do. Why? Because they're not prepared. And so they go away to the stores and try to buy some oil. But when they were going to do what they should have done, the bridegroom arrives. The five who are ready enter. The door is shut, and the celebration begins. Those who weren't ready, they finally arrive and they get there, but the door is closed. What do I do? Hey, we're back. We're ready now. We're here. Hey, let us in. And the bridegroom says, I do not know you. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like this. Jesus came to offer salvation. For anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. Set free, pardoned, pronounced not guilty. The door is open now, but there's coming a day when he comes back and the door's shut and it'll be too late. Now, here is the reality. I believe with all my heart, we're going to get through this. That as a nation, as a people, as a county, as our state, we're going to get through this virus. But here's the sad reality. There's going to be thousands of people who will lose their life through this. But for the majority of you out there that's watching right now, you'll be okay. It won't impact you. You'll be fine. But then what? What happens after we make it through? Back to business as usual? Focus on the economy? Get our sports back and going? Get our entertainment going? Get our online shopping back and going? What happens after? Because those of us who are healthy and well and we live through this unprecedented time, something that we've never seen in our lifetime. Can I tell you this? There's still going to be a day when you breathe your last breath. There will be something that causes us to cease to breathe. We're talking about an unseen enemy. And we as a nation, as we speak about that, we're speaking of it as the coronavirus. Can I tell you there is a more diabolical enemy than that? It's the enemy of Satan, of death, and the grave. But as Pastor John mentioned in the welcoming, we read the end of the book and we are told that Jesus, the conquering king who comes back, he defeats the final enemy of death and hell and he casts them into the lake of fire. There is a champion, there is a victor, there is a king. His name is Jesus. And so today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, for today is the day of salvation. Christians, let me talk to you just for a moment. Are you living ready? Is your faith in front of you? Are you being the faithful follower that God's called us to be? Are we wearing the clothes of righteousness that he has given us? I hope so. Living Water, we need to make sure that we're being those hands and feet to those around us. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, today, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You can say a prayer, something as simple as this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you died for me and you rose again. Lord, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me. Be my Lord. Be my God. I forsake my old life and follow you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a prayer you can pray right now. Let us come. Let us worship. Let us have a time of invitation as we celebrate the opportunity to what? Be prepared. Now's the time to be prepared. Don't say, oh, preacher, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that next week, or I'll do that when I get a little older. No, the time to call upon the name of the Lord is now. Let us worship. Let us sing.